And so because that's a maritime region and the Navy is a maritime force, we have interest in that. And so those climate change impacts have potential implications for the Navy.
There's still, in some quarters, there's still dispute about whether or not climate change is happening. From the Navy's perspective, is that debate over and you're looking at how to deal with those changes?
Oh, absolutely. There is no debate in the Navy or in the Department of Defense whether climate change is occurring or not. It's most apparent in the Arctic, and that's why we are up here addressing this region first and foremost. But global climate change, we accept and we are responding to by developing plans to adapt to the impacts.
The Navy has formed a climate change task force that you're part of. How long has that been in the works?
Well, not very long. We're only about a month or two old. This Task Force Climate Change, as we're calling it, is an element of the Navy headquarters, the Chief of Naval Operations Staff, and we've pulled together a number of other organizations to assist us, like the Coast Guard, like the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and several others. And the purpose of this task force is to develop a roadmap, first for the Arctic, Navy action for the Arctic, to guide our policy and strategy and potential future investments. And then secondly, we'll look into global climate change at large. Now, because the effects in the Arctic and globally we still have a hard time understanding them fully. There's much uncertainty in the predictions and in the observations of what we're seeing. We view investing in research as one of our first and foremost tasks, but we're still solidifying this roadmap, and we intend to complete it by the summer, this roadmap for the Arctic, and then we'll do a subsequent roadmap for Navy action and for climate change later. But we intend to look at all aspects, not only research, but policy strategy, as well as investments to adapt to the decreasing ice in the Arctic. For example, on our weapon systems or platforms or communications and our installations and facilities. You know, we've had some facilities in the past in Alaska, for example, our base at Adak, which we do not occupy anymore. But we'll look at the effect of this climate change on installations and determine whether or not, based on threat as well as the environment, whether we need to reinvest in those or not.
Where will the priorities for the Navy be in this task force? Is one of the first things to try to get more of a accurate picture on when we'll be seeing ice-free conditions in the Arctic?
Absolutely. We will have a phased approach, essentially. And as you just said, first thing we'll do is get a better idea on the predictions. And we're going to work very closely with NOAA on that, as well as our partners in academia. I'm visiting University of Washington today. And we have others that we work with, like the University of New Hampshire and Woods Hole and Scripps. And we intend to work with these organizations to get a better idea on the time for increasing Arctic access.
Has the task force had enough time to sort of lay out the challenges and the work that they're seeing for the Navy in the coming decades? Have you had enough time to do that yet?
Generally, we have. And to be honest with you, the operating environment in the Arctic is challenging. It's a very harsh environment. And although that you are led to believe from news reports that say the Arctic is opening, might cause one to conclude that it's not going to be smooth sailing throughout and like the waters off Southern California. And that's not the case, as you know. In fact, the term open is a World Meteorological Organization term. And what that means is there is less than one-tenth of the sea covered by ice. Well, that's still a lot of ice in the sea. And if you don't have an icebreaker in that region, your ships are going to have a hard time sailing and be put at great risk. So things we envision doing are partnering in research and observation and prediction of the environment there, as well as surveying efforts, mapping the bathymetry for improved navigation charts and safety of navigation, as well as cooperative efforts such as search and rescue exercises or actual events. And potentially what I think will be very significant because of the nature of the pristine environment in the region will be supporting oil spill response. Now, that's a U.S. Coast Guard mission, so DOD, but DOD has a support, may have a supporting role when called. And so we may look at increasing our ability to support things like that in the future.
There has been some dispute between Canada, the U.S., and Russia over Arctic borders and resource claims. What's the level of concern within the Navy over these competing claims, and what will the Navy's role be in this?
Well, the Navy is not very concerned about those disputes. In fact, they're pretty much State Department issues, and our role is national security. And we know that we have very strong relationships with all the Arctic nations, Canada, Russia, Norway. And so we're not very concerned with those at all, in fact. And I think the nature of those disputes, if any, of those that, few that there are generally friendly. And so they really have no bearing on, at present, on the Navy and our relationships with those countries' militaries.
And you mentioned that the Navy has no plans to have a provocative presence in the Arctic, but there are some national concerns of if there's increased access in the Arctic, that there will be more people moving through those waters. And so what do you see the Navy's future role in that regard in ensuring security for the border once the Arctic is a little more open?
Well, you kind of touched on two different lanes in the road. Border security is Department of Homeland Security, and the Coast Guard has that mission. Now, we work with the Coast Guard, and again, I think what we'll be looking at doing is increasing our cooperation together and assisting them when required, when feasible, when suitable. We have assets that can assist the Coast Guard, but they have also have unique assets which perform their for them to perform their mission. But in terms of opening access in the maritime areas, which is clearly the Navy's mission, national security, and maintaining global maritime security and stability, of course, we would have the same mission if called to operate in the Arctic. But again, I it's not an urgent issue. It's not a crisis. The opening of the Arctic is not going to happen in 2 weeks where the Navy is going to have to respond. This is several decades out. And so we're going to think about this very methodically, base it on the right science for that opening and the changing environment, and then make the appropriate decisions for policy, strategy, missions, and plans, and potential future investments in our weapons and systems and platforms.
Now, the workshop that you were part of while you were here in Anchorage, will there be findings released soon? About what the outcome was from this workshop?
Yes, there will be a report, and the outcome of that workshop will be a list of recommendations for conducting research to assist with adaptation efforts for defense assets and installations in the Arctic to the effects on climate change.
The Task Force on Climate Change, the Naval Task Force. You had mentioned that later this summer there will be some recommendations coming out. Any idea
yes.
of when that
will be? We have a roadmap that we will release we will submit to our senior leadership at the end of August. And upon approval, we will release that, I would expect, September timeframe, maybe a little later, October. And this will be a roadmap for Navy action with regards to the Arctic. And it will include milestones, if you will, on when the Navy must decide on taking specific action. For example, we know we will conduct studies and analyses on the various aspects we want to consider, like reevaluating policy and strategy in the region, like our investments in weapon systems and ships and aircraft, and our installations and facilities. And we'll do studies first. And then at some point thereafter, depending on the results of those studies, we'll form groups and partnerships with either our interagency organizations, like NOAA, for example, and the Coast Guard, or international partners as well, and academia and industry. And through those partnerships, develop decisions or recommendations for decisions to leadership in time. And again, it will all of those will be based on that first and foremost piece, the science, the timeline that science tells us when the Arctic will be open for increasing access and human activity.